Epilogue.
The paperwork never ends, does it?
Dwinpoldo asked as he shuffled through the sheaves in his lap. The wood gnomes perched on the carriage's red velvet seats cast shifting shadows in the light of the lantern that hung from the ceiling. One of the gnomes closest to the Scribkin chirruped curiously.
Look at what remains for tonight.
Poldo held up a bundle of documents.
Insurance claims to fill out for the undead attack, work orders for the repairs to the home, an issue with an invoice from the general store, and I still owe Mrs. Herc a letter. I'll be lucky if I finish half of it by the time we reach Dunhelm.
The wood gnome chittered sympathetically. Poldo considered the tasks at hand and opted for the most pleasant. He took out a blank sheet of paper, set it on his lap desk, and began a letter to Mrs. Herc. He hadn't finished his greetings before the carriage lurched to a halt, spilling his inkpot. The Scribkin cursed as he helped the wood gnomes clean up the mess.
Well, I assumed I'd have more time than that, he groused. How have we reached Dunhelm already?
The door of the carriage was suddenly pulled open.
Well, sure, the fact is we haven't,
said the carriage driver, a lanky human with a hawk nose.
Nose razor and all that.
What?
Said Poldo.
Nose razor, said the driver, is third principle of universal irony.
I'm afraid I'm not entirely sure what you're talking about,
said the gnome.
Oh, it's a very famous principle, said the driver, leaning against the carriage. Nove said that when outcomes are uncertain, irony pushes the result against positive expectations. He had this great experiment where he put a cat in a box with a toxic slime and shut the lid.
So I've heard. It all seems inhumane, said Poldo.
Maybe, but as long as the lid was closed, the fate of the cat was uncertain, right? It could be alive or dead, multiple possible outcomes. But whenever he opened the box, the cat was dead.
Yes, said Poldo, that's what you'd expect.
Well, yeah, but...
The carriage driver trailed off, scratching his nose.
No, wait, I'm telling it wrong. Maybe it was that he had a real bastard of a cat, and that was the only one that lived.
I'm familiar with Nove's razor, snapped Poldo. I'm just not sure what it has to do with our premature stop.
Well, whenever you have several possible scenarios, the worst one's the most likely. Case in point,
the driver leveled a large crossbow at Poldo's face,
this is a robbery, actually. Put your hands in the air and keep them where I can see them.
Poldo gasped. Several of the wood gnomes leapt to his defense, but the driver snatched one from the air.
Hang on, hang on,
he said, lifting the struggling gnome up over his head.
I like to keep things nice and neat, but if they need to get messy, I'm not afraid to get a little stain on my boots, if you understand. Squish, squish, crunch, crunch, yeah?
No, no need for that,
said Poldo slowly, hands above his head.
Stand down, everyone.
There's a good man,
said the driver, tossing the wood gnome back into the carriage. He guided Poldo down the carriage steps and to the edge of the lantern's light.
I'm sure you understand that in the current economic climate, it's become necessary to supplement my income a bit. Take opportunity as it comes, or so they say. And when a bigwig banker hires my carriage, that's definitely an opportunity. Now, if you just stand with your back to the ditch, sir, I think I can do this with one boat.
Poldo's heart froze in his chest.
I thought you said you liked to keep this clean.
Oh, I do, sir, said the driver cheerfully. As in, I like to eliminate all the witnesses to my robberies. So, if you can manage to drop down amongst those big rocks down there, your body should hide itself without a shred of evidence I ever touched you. And you get a quick and painless death, which is much better than what I'm going to do to you if you try anything funny. Everybody wins, in a way.
Some more than others, said Poldo.
Well, you're a banker, right? Said the driver with a dark chuckle. You should be used to that sort of thing.
The wood gnomes will tell someone,
said Poldo, stepping toward the ditch.
The domovoy, the driver smirked. Anyone they try to talk to is just going to call an exterminator and be done with it. Now, if you'd kindly make sure your back is to the stones.
What stones?
Poldo peered down into the darkness.
The huge stones down in the ditch,
said the driver turned highwayman.
Behind the bushes?
Asked Poldo, squinting.
Those look like shrubs to me.
Are you blind? I'm talking about the massive boulders sitting at the bottom of the thrice-cursed ditch. They... What?
The driver stopped at the edge of the ridge and stared down at the scrub brush, baffled.
Where could a pile of thrice-cursed boulders go? You have to consider the worst possible scenario,
said a voice that sounded like an avalanche.
What?
Said the driver, just before something pulled him up into the darkness. He managed half a scream before he was cut short with an unpleasant, burbling snap. A hulking figure stepped into the carriage light, the driver's lifeless body dangling from its hands. It towered over Poldo, regarding him with beady red eyes.
You're safe now, gnome, said the troll. Go.
Oh, said Poldo, his heart still racing. Well, I'm glad you were here. Thank you.
The troll's demeanor shifted from cold to confused.
Aren't you going to run away?
I should think not, said Poldo. I wouldn't be able to go far anyway, not without this carriage here.
He pointed back over his shoulder to where a few of the wood gnomes were desperately trying to calm the horses.
But I'm a troll,
Poldo shrugged.
And my best workers are wood gnomes, and my tenants are orcs and goblins, and my dearest friend is a gnoll. Why should a troll be any different?
I don't know.
The troll's hand moved toward his face as if to touch his eye.
But it is.
I respectfully disagree,
said the gnome.
My name is Dwin Poldo. I used to work in finance.
Thane, said the troll, reaching down to shake the gnome's hand. I used to be a semi-mythical guardian of the forest.
Pleased to meet you.
Poldo shook the tip of the troll's index finger.
A guardian, was it? I had a hunch you worked in security.
Really?
Oh, yes. The way you handled yourself back there, thank you again, by the way, I could just tell. Quick, succinct, and confident. I especially liked the way you turned the driver's own remarks against him. A very clever quip.
Thane scratched the back of his head sheepishly.
Well, I've heard you're allowed just one.
Ha! Regardless, it's clear you've done this professionally.
More of an informal arrangement, really, said the troll. Just saving travelers on the roads from bandits, monsters, that sort of thing. Speaking of which, it isn't really safe to be on the roads around Enderin these days.
That's what I said when I hired a carriage with an armed driver,
muttered Poldo.
Well, thrice cursed Nove, I suppose. But it's safer for me out here than it is in Enderin.
He turned to look back at Mount Windspar. The city wasn't visible from this side of the mountain, but the lights of the tiers formed a halo around the mountain against the purple darkness of the night.
I probably should have been away from the city sooner, said Poldo. I just had to stay back and make sure someone would be all right.
I know the feeling, said Thane. Now I know that everything is going to be fine. But there's still no place for someone like me.
And you don't want to leave, but staying isn't an option.
There are just too many reasons it has to be this way.
Troll and Skribkin shared a surprised look.
Ahem. Well, yes, I know that feeling as well,
said Poldo.
I don't suppose you'd be interested in traveling with me.
The troll seemed surprised.
You'd want me to?
Oh, certainly. I've recently had a security position open up.
Poldo nodded to the dead driver.
And you seem like good company. Do you have a standard rate?
A what?
An amount you usually charge for your work.
I used to just ask for something purple,
said the troll.
Ah, that's unusual, and probably illegal as I think about it. I'm pretty sure thug and goon rules prohibit such arrangements anyway. Are you licensed yet? No, it doesn't matter. I'll just pay you in Gilton, and you can buy whatever color stuff you like. Does 80 a week sound reasonable?
Thane grinned. To be concluded in The Dark Prophet Saga, Book 3, Dragon Fired.